Hi, I'm Doug Gordon, and you're listening to Beta on Wisconsin Public Radio. Chris Difford is the co-founder of the British rock band Squeeze. The band became popular during the new wave era of the late 1970s and has had many hit songs, including Tempted. Chris is out with his memoir. It's called Some Fantastic Place, My Life in and Out of Squeeze. He shares how he met his Squeeze partner, Glenn Tilbrook.
Well, I put the ad in and I waited 3 weeks for somebody to call. Nobody did. And then eventually Glenn Tilbrook called. And for the last 46 years, we've been writing songs together. It's been quite some journey. And when I first met Glenn, I was very impressed with his ability to play guitar and his incredibly sweet voice. It kind of was a good balance for me because I played very rough guitar and I had a very rough voice. And so it was a great sort of balancing act.
I think it's fair to say that you're a bit on the introverted side, whereas Glenn is very much an extrovert. How have these personality differences created problems for you in both your personal and professional relationships, or have they?
Well, it's taken me quite a considerable amount of years to respect the fact that we are very different. But when I investigate any relationship in the music industry, be it Simon and Garfunkel, or Jimmy Page and Robert Plant or Roger Daltrey, Pete Townsend, everybody that has the creative wherewithal to want to join, form a band and take it somewhere really amazing. That journey is shared when you're younger. It just becomes harder the older that you get because you have families, you have different responsibilities, you have different points of view. You get tripped up by the different curbs of life. So I think, there's always going to be differences just in the way that personalities are. But the ultimate sort of goal, I suppose, is just to deliver quality songs. And if you listen to the new album, you'll definitely hear that.
Yeah, the most recent album is called The Knowledge, right?
It is.
Yeah, that's a great album. And yeah, it's great that you guys are still putting out great music all these years later. So you wrote the lyrics and Glenn wrote the music. Can you talk a bit about what your working relationship was like?
Well, it's always been very distant. I've always, up until very recently, just given Glenn a whole chapter of lyrics and he'll go off and write the music to it. And it's very exciting to wait for the songs to come back to be heard. And on the most recent record, we went through that same process after all these years. And suddenly I download, six new songs and they're all amazing. So things haven't changed as far as our writing is concerned.
Going back to 1979, this is when Squeeze released its second album called Cool for Cats. And unlike a lot of bands, your band did not suffer from a sophomore jinx with this second album. The album contained 4 UK hit singles, which I believe is more than you've had on any other Squeeze albums. And so I'd like to talk to you about a few of the songs from Cool for Cats, starting with Up the Junction, which is one of my favorites musically and lyrically. It's terrific. Can you tell me about how you came up with the lyrics for Up the Junction?
I don't know. I was bored. I was sitting outside our hotel on tour, on a very first American tour, and I was thinking of home and what home represented to me, and I wrote that lyric on a piece of paper, and before I knew it, it was a song.
Alone here in the kitchen, I feel there's something missing. Beg for some forgiveness, but begging's not my business. And she won't write a letter, although I always tell her. And so it's my assumption I'm really up the junction.
I've read that you don't like this phrase kitchen sink dramas used to describe your lyrics. Is that true?
No, that's not true. I'll take any phrase you like.
Yeah, okay, because I think it's...
Kitchen Sink's good.
Yeah, I think Kitchen Sink is really good. Another great song from the Cool for Cats album is, of course, Goodbye Girl. Can you tell me about this song?
Well, it was influenced by the first American tour, and, we used to do it in a kind of rock and roll way, like Rockpile would have done it.
More rollicking, Chuck Berry on acid thing, yeah.
Yeah, so it was very much influenced by that kind of, the lyric is kind of neither here nor there in the history of Squeeze songs, but I think the overall excitement of it when we play it live, it's a song that you just can't get enough of, you know.
I met her in a ballroom, her name I didn't catch. She looked
although if you slow it down, it sounds like the theme tune to The Muppets. It is actually a very original tune, and it was made even more so by the percussion on it, which at first I kicked off, I just didn't understand what all the fuss was about, trying to make it sound like Can or Kraftwerk, but Glenn was definitely ahead of the spin.
Yeah, and wasn't it Glenn's idea, and also your drummer Gilson Lavis, that they used unorthodox instruments for the percussion, bits of metal, empty vodka bottles, isn't that right?
I think there was a great joy in emptying the vodka bottles.
I'm sure there was, yeah, definitely. So, and Goodbye Girl is one of many songs that features that trademark Difford and Tilbrook octave apart harmonies, which is a huge part of the Squeeze sound. How did those come about?
Just by accident. Glenn was playing some songs in his bedroom, and I just started singing along, and I just, because my voice is lower than his, it kind of, that's how it fitted. But as well as that, I've never really been one for harmonies. I've never been able to hear the root notes very, very well. Huh. And so academically, I suppose you could say it was easier for me just to take the bottom root and stick to it. You know, how I wish I could sing like Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
One of the things that's most remarkable about Goodbye Girl to me is the lyrics, the song being about a con artist. I'm curious about why you wanted to write about that. Were you reading a lot of noir fiction at the time?
I was reading a lot of Damon Runyon.
Oh, okay.
Which I still love. In fact, I just got two antique versions of his books.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, his storytelling is just sublime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to ask about one more song from Cool for Cats, but before we move on to other things, the title track, which of course features you handling the lead vocal duties. What inspired you to write this one?
Yeah, well, it was kind of influenced by the meter of a Benny Hill song. You know, it's not a lyric that I would have on my gravestone, but it's quite fun, and it sort of defines Squeeze at that time. It definitely defines my career because I sing it every day of the year, pretty much. But it is what it is.
And meanwhile, at the station, there's a couple of likely lads who swear like as your father, and they're very cool for cats. They're cool for cats.
I think it was a wise decision on Glenn's part to not go in a Boots Randolph yakety sax direction with the music, wasn't it?
I don't know. I would have loved that.
It would have been interesting.
It would have been fun.
Yeah, it still may happen. We'll see. So
we'll see.
Forgotten what I've had, and everybody tells me that it's cool to be a cat, cool for cats.
In May 1981, you released your fourth Squeeze album, East Side Story, which was produced by Elvis Costello and engineered by Roger Bacharian. And then, of course, there was one track produced by Dave Edmunds. This is considered by many to be your finest album. Can you tell me how Tempted morphed into the soulful Motown-esque version that we're all familiar with?
I think you have to put that squarely at the feet of Elvis Costello, who masterminded the recording of that song and that album, really. And it is one of my favorite Squeeze albums, if not my favorite Squeeze album, uh-huh. Because it tells a story all the way through almost. I'm very proud of the lyrics, and I think you can hear the ambition of a young band going in the same direction, and I think that's a really great thing.
Tempted by
I have to ask you about one of the most beautiful songs lyrically and musically in the entire Squeeze catalog, Labeled With Love. It has this lovely kind of country and western vibe to it, yet it's still got one foot in pop. How did Labeled With Love come about?
Well, yet again, it was down to Elvis Costello. We had the song on a cassette and we played it to him, and we were ambivalent about recording it. We were kind of nonplussed, but he said, no, you got to record this. This is just like the bee's knees. So we did it, and there it is.
She unscrews the top of a new whiskey bottle and shuffles about in her candlelit hovel.
I've read that your mother absolutely loved that song, right?
She did love it, you know, and a lot of mothers love that song. I do it on my, I've just been doing it on my tour, my solo tour. I don't sing it as beautifully as Glenn, but I managed to put across a rendition, which is kind of, you know, Hank Williams-like, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, and the story's about the end of a relationship after the war, isn't it?
It is, an age, about what happens when you get older, yeah. So the past has been bottled and labeled
with love. The past has been bottled and labeled. You write very candidly in Some Fantastic Place about your battles with alcohol and drug addiction over the years. Can you point to one turning point that has allowed you now to be sober for 25 years?
My turning point was very much to do with not being able to handle being in a band and not being able to have a day without alcohol. And the alcohol was confusing my relationships, particularly with being in Squeeze. So it was making the waters very muddy. And emotionally, I was kind of drifting. Mm. And then when I got clean and sober, we recorded Some Fantastic Place, which again is a brilliant album.
Yeah.
And I think we raised our game there, and Glenn was on top form. The songs were brilliant. And I guess if any of the Pink Cloud of Sobriety were to be heard in Squeeze, it was on that album. A smile could lift me from the pain I often found within. She said something I won't forget. She made a few bells ring.
Would it be fair to say that you've now arrived at some fantastic place in your life?
Yeah, I think I'm the sort of person who gets to the some fantastic place and then I look at the horizon and I want to get further towards the horizon. Mm-hmm. I can't sit still, really, because my imagination flares up and I start to work. And I'm very lucky like that. I mean, you know, I could sit in my chair and just fall asleep all day and not do anything, but I think the idea of just leaving as much of yourself as possible as a writer is a good thing, whether it's good or bad or indifferent. That's all I really wanted to do, was tell my story about my life. Fantastic.
Chris Difford is one of the founding members of the British rock band Squeeze. His memoir is called Some Fantastic Place, My Life in and Out of Squeeze. Head over to wpr.org/beta to find out more about Chris. Have you ever wondered why some songs fade out? Beta producer Carl Christensen did, so he and music director Steve Gotcher investigated this rock and roll thought experiment.